Find your way to Revelation chapter 21, page 1041 in your pew Bibles. Yes. Grade 6 and down can be dismissed. Thank you. So as you're finding your way to Revelation chapter 21, page 1041. Last couple of weeks we've been in the Old Testament and we've looked at the cross of Christ and all that history, all that truth and reality of God's Word. When we get to the book of Revelation, it's just as true and it's just as real. It is as though it already happened because God says it will. So keep that in mind as we look at hope today. So we're in the book of Revelation. It is not the book of Revelations. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to start actually in 19, verse 6. If you want to follow along with me, I will get to chapter 21. If you want to just wait there. Revelation chapter 19, starting in verse 6, 6 through 9. This is the word of God. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saint. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 29. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Verse 7. And when 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. Verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Here's where we'll pick it up in chapter 21. Revelation 21, 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with him, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have his heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Revelation 22, 12 through 14. Behold, I am coming soon. Bring in my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. 20 and 21. And he who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of God, grace of Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, this is an incredible day. It is incredible because you have created it. You have given it to us. Father, and you have given us this time now to look at your word. And we just looked at Jesus' second coming and the new heaven and the hope of glory that we have. These words are true because they are your words. As we consider this today, Father, as we look at the hope of glory that we have in Christ, may your Spirit teach us in our hearts this truth. May we live it. May we hope in it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the third message in our series. Today's title is Abiding in the Reality of Christ, the Hope of Glory. The last 2 weeks, we built up to a truth. We built up to a reality, the plan and the mystery that was hidden from the ages, from most people. It starts with God is God. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the creator of the universe. And he is deadly serious about his command for us to love him. And no one throughout history was able to live to that standard and sinned against God. And we saw that God's wrath and his love came together at the cross of Christ. And it was there that the sinless Son of God took our sins upon him. And if we believe in him, if we believe in Christ and only Christ for salvation, then we are forgiven and cleansed of our sin, past, present, and future, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And the truth then, the reality, the truth of the mystery hidden for the ages is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We were dead in our sins, but we are alive in Christ. We lived in a domain of darkness. We are now in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of truth, the kingdom of the Son of God. We were children of God's wrath, but now we are children, adopted children of the living God. We were separated from Christ, having no hope and without God in the world. Now Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So where do we go from here? We started at the beginning because that's typically where I always like to start. We had eternity past, and we had creation of the world and creation of man trying to follow God and sinning and repenting and following and sinning and repenting, and we came to the cross. At that point in history, everything changed because Jesus came and died on the cross for us. So we've moved around along 2,000 years now, and we're still in the age that we're in. But it's going to continue, and I don't think very long, and we're going to be right where we just read. And then we will go into eternity future. So we have this history, and we're right here. And on my dry erase board in the basement, it's 4x8, my color-coded board, I had the fear of the Lord, sin, the cross, being saved, understanding our standing in Christ, walking as we ought to walk, pressing on, making our election and calling sure, persevering, suffering. And over here at the bottom, I had the hope. That was going to be like the last thing I was going to do. It was at the end. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, the hope of glory is not at the end. The hope of glory cannot be put off. It is now. Because Christ is in us, and He is our hope of glory. We cannot put it last, because we need to know it, we need to understand it, and we need to believe it now. We could spend weeks studying the hope, but let me give you a simple definition. We look to the second coming of Jesus and to spend eternity with Him. We have hope because God is God. And what God says, God does. This is not a worldly hope so. I don't hope so. It is hope. This is the reality of the truth we live in. God is God. And He tells us in His Word that Jesus is coming again. He tells us in His Word we will be like Him. And He tells us in His Word that we will live with Him forever. If you are a child of God, this is our hope. If you are a child of God, this will happen in His power and for His glory. We need to see what happens in the end, because God will take us there. Our confidence needs to be in Him. Our faith needs to be in Him. And our hope needs to be in Him. He is God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory is God's plan for us, God's people. Much canon is preached on this, but we are going to stay focused mostly. The plan of God for His people. In God's plan, He wills us to glory. That is, He is in control and He does it all. Secondly, He seals us. All of this is guaranteed. Thirdly, His power is towards us. The power of God is our source. So simply put, the hope of glory, God wills it, God seals it, and God's power completes it. Let's start in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll begin with God wills it, the will of God. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pause here. Paul is writing to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus. We were at the foot of the cross last week. The last 2 weeks were a study for unbelievers and believers alike. The rest of this study, from this point forward, is for the faithful in Christ. If you do not have Christ in you, then this is not for you. This is for believers. This is for abiding in the reality of Christ. You can't abide in the reality of Christ if you don't have Christ in you. Now don't be discouraged if this is not you. But be fearful, because you are in your sin, and the consequences of sin is death, like we've looked at the last 2 weeks. But God's mercy and grace call out to you at any point, but don't wait. But at any point, you can go to the cross of Christ and you can embrace by faith what Jesus did on the cross for you, and you will be born again and have Christ in you, the hope of glory. For us saints, us faithful in Christ, this is for us. This is the word of God. Let's look at what God has to say. We're going to go slow. Verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Let's hold up here. I said we'd stay focused, but I said mostly. Here is a side thought. We need to stop. Stop thinking that we are lacking anything in Christ. We have everything in Christ. We have everything. Everything. Let me give you an example. Is my prayer for Renee, oh dear God, bless Renee, my dear wife? Or is it, oh dear God, thank you for giving Renee Christ. Open her eyes and her heart to see the blessings that she has in you. They're already there. May the Spirit give her inner strength, inner being to know and believe and experience all that she has in Christ. We need to stop thinking that we lack anything in Christ and start knowing and believing that Christ is everything. He is ours. If you want to abide in Him and experience more of Him, then we need to renew our minds with this. We'll get to that later in our study. But get it started now. Christ is everything. Okay, onward. Let's focus on verses 4 and 5 and look at the will of God. Verse 4. This is the word of God. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. According to the purpose of His will. These two verses not only summarize the plan of God, they reveal the will of God. According to the purpose of His will. Look at these two closely with me. This is the word of God. This is pure truth. This is simple, clear truth. Look first at our hope in verse 5. You need to see these are God's words and not mine. Verse 5. Here is our hope. He predestined us for adoptions as sons. And how long have we, saints and faithful in Christ, been destined to be adopted sons of God? Look at verse 4. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, He chose us. The rest of verses 4 and 5 tell how He accomplished it. verse 6, we see the glory of his grace doing it. And then the following verses, we see more detail on how he does this. And then we see more of the glory of his grace. Follow along as we read verses 3 through 12. Watch for the will, the grace, and the glory of God. This is God's plan for us. This is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He predestined us to be adopted sons and daughters. He gave us Jesus Christ to be in him, to be in him, holy and blameless before God. And why did he do this? Because he loves us and he lavished us in his grace. Listen, it is only by his grace that we are his children. It is only by the grace of God that we are his children. There is nothing that we could have done. It is all God. It is his plan. It is his will. It is his love. And it was his son that died for us on the cross. And it is his grace that is lavished upon us. Why? This is why we praise him. Dear God, I don't know why he picked me. I don't know why he loved me enough for his son to die for me. I don't know. I am not worthy. But thank you, God, and praise you for doing it. These are truths that move us to worship and praise our God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wills it. And next we'll see God then seals it. Verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The mystery of the ages, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If our faith is in Christ, in Christ alone for salvation, then we are forgiven and cleansed of all of our sins, past, present, and future, and we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and we are sealed, and our inheritance is guaranteed by God to the praise of his glory. God seals us and guarantees our inheritance, and this is the word of God. The hope of glory, he wills it, he seals it, and now we'll see God's power is in it. Verse 15, for this reason, and that would be all of the things we just looked at. For this reason, Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Let's stop here and take a reality check. Paul is praying for the Father of glory, that he gives them a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, and that he opens the eyes of their hearts. And we're going to look at what he prays for them to see and understand. But why is he praying this for them? Why is he praying for them to have a spirit of wisdom and to have knowledge of understanding of him and for the eyes of their hearts to be open? Why is he praying this? He is praying this because Paul knows the only way we can understand is by the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal it. Keep your fingers in Ephesians and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Earlier, I told you this message is for believers, and it is. These are truths of the kingdom of God. People of the world cannot see these truths. And I dare say, carnal Christians have a hard time. Those caught up in the world will have a hard time also seeing these truths. These are the meat of the Word of God. That is why Paul is praying for them in our passage in Ephesians. That is why he's praying for them, so they will understand. Here in Corinthians, Paul is telling them, in the passage we're going to look at, he's telling them how mature believers are able to see the truth. Right after this, in the next chapter, right after when we're done, he tells the people in Corinthians, but I can't tell you these things. It is as though you are still in the flesh. You are babies in Christ. You cannot understand these things. We need to mature. We need to move on to the meat of God's word. We need to be spiritual people of God to see these things. Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. This is the word of God. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to them. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Brothers and sisters, this is foundational to abiding in the reality of Christ. These truths we are looking at are God's reality. We need to move out of the darkness of deception and into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of God. If you are born again, then the Spirit within you will testify that these things are true. Renew your minds. Receive the word of God for what it really is, the word of God, and not the words of men. It is at work in you who believe. Paul prays in Ephesians because he knows the only way we can get the understanding we need is by the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, because God's thoughts are spiritually discerned. Let's go back to Ephesians and see what he prays for them to know. Remember where we are. The hope of glory. God wills it. God seals it. And God's power is in it towards us. That's what we're looking at. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Paul prays for understanding for three things here. The hope to which he has called us, and we've looked at that. The riches of his glorious inheritance in us. We looked at that a little bit in Revelation. Verse 19. What is Paul praying that we see, spiritually discern? Verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? The power of God is toward us who believe. Let's look at this power. Paul says this power is great. How great? It is immeasurably great. You can't even measure how great this power is. But he gives examples. Let's read the rest of this starting in verse 19. Remember now, Paul has prayed for them to have the eyes of their hearts opened to know. Verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him over as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God's immeasurable great power is towards us who believe. How does one explain or help to reveal something they can't measure? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, I can't tell you how great he is. There's no way to measure it. Scholars put a fancy term on it. They call him omnipotent, like that covers it. I'm no scholar. What we can do is look at what Paul did. That is to look at the work of God that has been revealed to us. Last week, we looked at Jesus. We saw the Son of God come to earth for us. And we saw that all we did then was spit on him and beat him and nail him to the cross and kill him. And he was buried dead in the ground. Not television dead. Dead, dead. Our Savior, our Lord, our King is dead. Defeat seemed to be reality. The people had won. Satan had prevailed. But God, according to the working of his great might, raised him from the dead. And not only did he raise him from the dead, he put him in heavenly places above everything else at his right hand. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Every knee and every tongue. The one that was dead is alive. At the cross, we see the love of God. In the resurrection, we see the power of God. And here is the hope of the power of God. when Jesus comes again, he will not come as a lamb to be slain. He will be coming as a lion to rule. He will come in all of his glory and all of his power, and we will experience the reality of what we will be in him at that time. This will happen. This will happen because it is the will of God. This will happen because it is the guarantee of God. And this will happen because it is in the power of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why did I bring this study now? It is important for a couple of reasons that we looked at this today. They kind of tie together. First, we looked at this today because we need to know and believe our destiny is set and God is in control of it. I can tell you this. If my future glory depended even a little bit on me, I would have no hope. But our hope doesn't depend on us. Our hope is in the God who wills us from the foundation of the earth to be predestined into Christ and to be with him forever. It is hope in God, God who saved us at the cross of Christ. When we believed, we were cleansed and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. It is hope in God, God who in his mighty power raised Jesus Christ from the dead and sat him at his right hand. He directs that power towards us. This is not a hope so hope. This is reality in Christ. We need to know and to believe this. The other reason is that this hope is what we look to all the time. The second coming of Jesus, being like Jesus, being with Jesus forever is what we hope in. This hope is what we know and believe is happening and will happen. This hope is what we grab a hold of and we endure through trials. In fact, 1 John tells us this is the hope that purifies us. We need to hope now. I want to look at one more passage before we close. Turn to Romans chapter 8. This is becoming my favorite passage in Scripture. Don't be surprised if we come back here a number of times this summer. Watch for the hope. It is the control of God, the will of God, and the power of God. Romans 8:23, this is the word of God, and this is spiritually discerned. Verse 23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is nothing new. This is not some magic pill that Fred is coming up with. This is the word of God. These things are spiritually discerned and understood. If you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, they will start to make sense and they will start to take hold. Renewing your minds and conforming you more to the image of Christ. Don't you understand? This is what God predestined for us to happen. To be conformed to His image. These words, these truths are the plan and the will of God. They are our hope of being like Him and being with Him forever in glory. These words, these truths are our reality in Christ, because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. I'm going to close by reading this again in verse 28 to 39, and then we'll pray. Watch for the power of God's love towards us in Christ. The power of God. We need to know and believe the hope of glory now, because this is our reality in Christ. May the Word of God penetrate the very depths of our souls as we finish this passage. Romans 8, 28 through 39. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors to Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, You have given us Your Word, not to just read it, but to understand and believe and live it. Father, may these truths of Your Word penetrate our inner being. May we understand them. May we see the truth for what it is. And Father, may we understand that You have given us the power to live these things. As we go from here today, Father, may this just not fall away from us as we walk out the door. May Your truth be part of us forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Robin's going to lead one more song.